listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show. My name is Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter, and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Want Institute. We're so fortunate tonight to have myself and Patricia Eltage available to answer your relationship questions. The call-in number for the show tonight will be 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. When you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back to be connected to the show. Please make sure you pick up the call back and enter this number in your phone contact list to avoid going to spam. Before we take your questions, I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor. The WAN Institute currently provides facilitators that will educate you with techniques on how to begin, build, and maintain lasting, loving relationships. The facilitators will introduce you to basic communication skills using the techniques of WANT training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. If you want information regarding any of the WANT Institute services, you can reach me at 949-723-0338 or email the office at info@drpatallen.com, info@drpatallen.com. I also offer a drop-in ladies group on Monday night and Thursday night. If you want, it's a $10 donation. If you want information on the drop-in ladies group, you can send me an email at info@drpatallen.com. So tonight we have Patricia Eltage as our guest, and she's going to answer some questions and talk about communication, emotional communication. Patricia, are you available here?
I am indeed.
Thank you for joining us. I know you went on a little vacation and you're back.
Yes, I had a nice little romantic holiday with my man, and it's nice to do that now and again instead of just working all the time.
So hopefully, and if you've been a caller on our show before, we always like updates. So please give us a call on what's going on and update us on what's going on. Again, the call-in number is 323-203-0815. Unfortunately, we were not live last week. We had some technical issues. We had a recording. Occasionally something happens, but you can always tune in. And if you have any questions that you cannot share live, you can email me at the office and we'll be glad to read them on the radio here on the podcast. And you can listen to the archives for your answer. Again, it's info@drpatallen.com. info@drpatallen.com. So, Patricia, what are we talking about? Emotional communication. You have some, you want to talk about that a little bit before we get some callers? I may have to interrupt.
Yes. Well, first of all, there was someone this week who would call in, and they became emotional in, they're married, and they became emotional in a heated argument. And I've told people, many times, do not use the divorce where I'm leaving you in a fight, because you may just get what you ask for. And never say I'm going to divorce you or leave you unless you're ready to walk out the door for good and go get an attorney or be gone. The reason being, emotions are different from feelings. People say, I was just angry. Well, that gal who said, just sign the just get divorce papers then last week. And guess what? Within days, she was served with divorce papers. So please, people, in heated arguments, which hopefully we don't have heated arguments, because we all have emotions and we have feelings, but emotions are different from feelings. Feelings flow from the body, sensations, and then go through the rational brain and end up in an appropriate action. Whereas emotions start out in body sensations, but don't go through the rational brain. Instead, they burst out in irrational behavior, such as yelling, throwing, hitting, or leaving. So, this is what we teach. And Sue, you do such a great job in your groups teaching the languaging tools. And that's what's important, to practice it on a regular basis, so that even if you feel angry, you can still behave and speak in a rational way.
You want to go over the drama triangle, the speak, feel, think type thing, how people speak emotionally versus rationally?
That's right. Well, when you're speaking emotionally, it's reactive.
Yeah.
And you're not, and we teach rational, which is proactive, meaning when you're rational and doing proactive decision making, you're choosing to speak and act in a predetermined way. Emotional behavior is reactive and chaotic and will bring chaos to your life. So these are the tools that are taught to head those things off at the pass, even when you're mad or when you feel anger come up. So give an example, Sue, of one of your, let's see.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. What I do basically is help women with the online dating and how to communicate, stay in your feminine. And what seems to be the problem is that so many women are in their masculine. They want to lead and they want to take charge. And when he doesn't do it in a way that they're comfortable, they react and want to change him. Well, he's not doing this. What can I do to get him to do this? Unfortunately, get him to do this. That is the way he is. But if you communicate and you stay in your feminine, he hopefully, if he's a good masculine man, you'll be able to complement each other. But a lot of my women rally back and forth. They're masculine, then they're feminine, then they're masculine. And it confuses the men, and they don't know which position to stay in. So it's very important when you're in a relationship to stay with your main suit. We're both masculine and feminine, but you have to have one that's a little, your main suit. Everybody's masculine at work, but when you're in a relationship, there's got to be one leader and one follower, one president, one vice president, one masculine, one feminine. So you complement each other. If you get too masculine, they compete. If you get too feminine, they neutralize and they both stare at each other waiting for somebody to make a move. So the communication, I would say, is the most important thing in relationships, because once that breaks down, it's downhill. You probably have examples.
It is, and I have a case this week that I just shared with you, and now that person is heading for divorce because, well, you know what people say to us? They say, well, how is that possible to if you're in a relationship, a romantic relationship, how is a person involved in a relation? How can they find the strength and fortitude to implement these principles? And you know what our answer is?
What?
Discipline.
That's true. I tell my ladies, do not explain and defend your point of view. He doesn't want to hear it, and it's just going to go over his head, and he's always going to want to trump you. Sometimes you have to acquiesce for the sake of the relationship. It's not that you're not getting your way, is that pick and choose your battles. Like Dr. Allen says, if it's not illegal, immoral, and ethical, sometimes keep your mouth shut. You know, there's got to be one president and one vice president. The vice president doesn't get to go up there and start ragging out orders and trumping the president. There's a line of leadership. And a lot of people with feminine, you know, the feminine lib type thing, they want to be equal. But tell us what equal means, Patricia.
Well, we
everybody Dr. wants Allen, this equal relationship.
This equal, but, equal. Well, guess what? Guess what? There is equality at work. At work, That's where you get your equality. And hanging out with your girlfriends, that's where you get equality. But in a romantic relationship, no matter if it's two men, two women, or a man and a woman, it's got to be the same. It's equitable. You have both have power positions, but it's equitable. They're different. And you have your main lane. I like to also say you stay in your lane. But when you want to switch lanes, you flag the other person. Let's say you are in the feminine position, and you may say, well, I have an idea, which is masculine, on this topic we're talking about. Are you willing to hear it? Then you're asking to come into that lane, and then you're knocking on the door, and they're saying, yeah, I'd like to hear it. They say, yeah, I'd like to hear it. But you respectfully said, I have an idea, which is their lane. Mm-hmm. And they say, yeah, I'd like to hear it. Or if they say, no, not now, like tell me in 20 minutes or something. Then you go, okay, yeah. I'll come back in 20 minutes and tell you about it.
Yeah.
But this is discipline. This is a training. This is discipline.
It is. I have a case I want to get your opinion about. You know, Valentine's Day is coming up, and there's a lady that's just starting to date a guy, and he hasn't mentioned anything about Valentine's Day, and she wants to kind of give him some suggestions or see if he's interested. How, and I hope she's listening, how would, oh, we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for us?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
See, I was just wondering, I've been on Bumble for a while, and there was a gentleman that I was going out with. We went out about 5 times. We had a really great time. Then, of course, I shouldn't say, of course, there was the holidays, and he got busy with work and a few other things. And then all of a sudden today I looked and he unmatched me. What do you make of that?
Patricia, you want to take this one?
Yeah. Well, let's get, does he live in close proximity to you? Was it convenient to date you? Did you date him more than once?
Yeah, we went out 5 times.
Oh, 5 times. Wow.
Let me ask you something just for clarification. You only communicated through the app. Did you ever exchange phone numbers? Because maybe he didn't.
They went out 5 times. They went out together 5 times.
We went out 5 times.
Yeah, they have a phone number. He has your phone number.
I'm just trying to get clarification.
He has the phone number.
They had phone numbers, so he didn't necessarily have to communicate through the app.
Correct.
That is correct.
Go ahead
if you had something to say on that. Go ahead.
No, because I'm just saying he may have had to get off the app because he you know, it might have expired. So if he has her phone
that
number,
could be
call her.
It could have expired.
If could he goes off the app,
no, you can tell when it's expired.
Okay.
You can tell when they, you know, when it's expired or if they just unmatch you.
Okay. So let me ask you this. And how did you feel when you said, wait, first of all, how did you feel when you went out with him? Did you like him?
Oh, yeah, we got along extremely well.
You got along well. Well, so how did you feel when you got unmatched?
To be honest with you, because I could kind of see the writing on the wall when he would say, like, hey, I'm going to be out of town. He's had to do a lot of work trips, and I could just tell, like, maybe he was kind of distancing himself.
You felt, well, he had a lot of things. Well, when that happens, when people are busy, men are busy with work and travel or whatever it is they're doing, a lot of times women feel neglected, but men are really in one box at a time. They handle one thing at a time. So that, in some ways, I try to get women to understand that they're busy, but you're saying now that he came back and then unmatched you. But if he has your phone number, I don't think he is gone.
Yes, that's what I was trying to get to. And just, you know, it's like I have a lot of the ladies too. It can take them up to 2 weeks to come back. My ladies get mad when they don't hear from the guys for 3 days. And I'm like, patience. Men have lives to do, and they don't worry about calling women.
That's accurate. Right.
Actually, I'm a little bit relieved, to be honest with you, because now I don't have to see, like, because you can always see, like, on Bumble where they are.
Oh,
and
great.
I don't have to, like, kind of go in there anymore and see where he is.
Because he doesn't live in exactly in one place. He lives in more than one place.
Because he travels a lot.
Okay.
So for me, actually, it was like a bit of a blessing in disguise. But I just was curious what you thought.
Well, I also think this is a perfect example of why we suggest that women are dating more than one person at a time. Because if then you're not focusing on the one person, you stay dating and have a merry-go-round of men until somebody snares you.
Yes.
And makes it a relationship. But when you just date one guy, oh, I really liked him, and then you kind of stop making an effort to date, that is really a bad idea, because then it feels terrible when they fall off the planet or whatever happens. You're just better off having them be one of the many fish in the sea.
That's true. Right. And one thing is your energy. When you get disappointed on that guy, when you're out looking for other guys, they can sense that you're not happy, that something's going on, because you're disappointed on that guy. You've got to keep yourself positive, happy, and men pick up on that. So if you're upset and thinking about this guy rejecting you, the other guys can sense that too.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's all good. I'm dating others, so it's all good.
And you know
well,
what?
I understand that it's disappointing when you liked one.
Yes, it's disappointing. Right. But remember, when he does come back, you act like it was just yesterday when you talked.
Right.
And you're excited when he does call you again, because I believe he will call you again.
Yeah, he'll call you back.
Right. So it was interesting. So there was another guy then that, he left probably about 3 weeks ago, and all of a sudden he came back and he just said, good morning. He goes, I apologize for not staying connected. Things have been a little too busy. How are you? And then I just text him back. I go, I'm marvelous. You know, I'm staying warm in front of the fireplace because it's really cold here. And,
did you say good to hear from you? Good to hear from you.
I did not say that.
You have to appreciate them texting or reaching out.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
A big...
Well, I'll just say.
You need to be excited. They need to hear enthusiasm.
Yes.
You have to have a smile in your text.
Yes. When they reach out, always say, thank you for reaching out, or so good to hear from you. They need that stroke. Men want that stroke of appreciation when they do something nice for a woman. And we women forget.
All right. I will do that.
You stay positive and stay dating.
I'll just send them a message. Pardon me?
Yeah. Stay positive and be enthusiastic when you hear from someone.
Is this guy that reached out again after a couple of weeks, did he ask you out or anything, or was there any lead? What was the rest of the conversation?
It was over the holidays, and we were both busy traveling, so we haven't even met yet, this other guy. So it will all work out. If we see each other, great. If not, that's okay too. So I just wanted to get your feedback on it.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, because you're not the only one that has this happen, and people need to hear how to handle it. So thank
All
you
right.
again for sharing that with us.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye
for now.
Yes.
So yes, people do feel disappointed, and that's natural. You're human to feel disappointment, but then we just say, if you keep a merry-go-round of dates, you're better off having something to look forward to tomorrow.
That's true. A lot of my women, they like one guy, so they want to stop dating the other guys because they say it's too much work. And I always suggest you can do what you want, but I advise to, after 3 dates, whether you like him or not, you still need to investigate other men and not focus on him. Just
Yes.
it can, dating is getting to know somebody, and you can go out 10 times and find out he's not your man. It doesn't matter. 5 dates does not label it a relationship. It's you're investigating how this person, his behavior, values, morals, and if you're compatible. That's dating. And people
And
understand, they don't have a
yeah.
hard time understanding that.
So back to when your date, oh, here we
Oh, we
go.
have a caller. We have another caller. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for us?
Hi, good
Hello.
evening, ladies. Calling. I've called before.
Okay.
Maybe a few weeks ago, I had called
Okay.
because the my boyfriend and I were wait. I wanted to wait until I had a promise ring before we were being intimate, and we had agreed to get that done by the end of January, which has come and gone without the ring. So I was waiting until after this weekend to bring it up, and I just wanted to maybe run it by you and see what you think.
Well, there's Valentine's Day coming up, that he could have made that
That's
be
true.
Valentine's Day, so I don't know if I would say anything today, but I would wait.
No,
So
I would wait after, yeah.
I remember. So you both talked, and he said, remind us, I don't know if Patricia was here. Did you have the talk about getting a promise ring in January, and he agreed?
Yeah, that was something that we had agreed on because I wanted to be engaged within a year. And he
Okay.
said he wanted to be engaged only after 2 years. And so our compromise after we negotiated was a promise ring sooner, which
Okay.
would be the end of January.
Okay. So you want to find out how to bring it back up and ask him. Patricia, do you want to give her some tools on how to negotiate asking for the promise ring?
Do you have a date set up in your next meeting? Do you have a date set up soon?
Yeah, we well, there's obviously tomorrow, and then I'll be staying overnight at his place, so I'll be there the weekend.
Okay, so on the weekend, so maybe after Valentine's Day, unless he
Yeah,
the
Saturday
Valentine's
night or
Day may,
something.
yeah. Then you say, oh, by the way, you can say, and this is how you bring up something that you've already agreed upon. You say, remember our conversation. I'm referring to our conversation back in, when was it? When was the agreement made?
In
December?
October.
October. Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm remembering you say our conversation in October about of an agreement we had on my having a promise ring to tide me over till we get engaged. And the agreement at the time was that I would have it by the end of January. So what do you think about that, sir?
Okay.
Well, John, whatever his name is.
Yes, I have a good feeling he's not gonna want to, he was gonna want more time.
Well, then you have the opportunity to tell him, but we made an agreement, we made a commitment, we had an agreement, and I'm really not comfortable. Continue. Are you ready to go to crisis over it? I'm asking you.
Yes, I think so. I mean, it's been the getting to commitment with him has been a bit of an uphill battle. So if this is, yeah,
You
he's doing
can
it
take
much
it
as
to
he can.
crisis. Yes. Now, what
Yeah.
I suggest then, and that's plenty of time. October, the commitment was made, and at the end of January has passed. And then you bring it up respectfully, reminding
Right.
him that it was a mutually made commitment. And
Right.
say, and to be perfectly honest, John, I don't want to go on unless I know that you keep commitments.
Right, exactly.
Because I need to feel comfortable.
Yeah.
I need to feel comfortable with you and how you make and keep commitments. Because one of Dr. Allen's, one of her main slogans is, the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep. So he has demonstrated his lack of love.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So it's a tough one because I like him a lot, but ultimately, mm-hmm. if we're not able to get, because I mean, if we had an agreement for becoming boyfriend girlfriend, and then that got pushed, and then we eventually did, and then I wasn't willing to be intimate without the ring, because I could sense that he wasn't really into it. Mm-hmm. And so now that the ring is being pushed as well, I wonder, mm-hmm. you know, how much more pushing am I willing?
It's not about pushing at this point. It's about pulling away. And you get to remove his source of pleasure, the pleasure of being near you.
Right.
So you need to have the be strong enough and have the discipline enough to love yourself more than you love him.
That's true. What do you think about the other alternative? I was thinking, you know, I'm ready to walk away, but if he's willing to negotiate a sooner engagement, we can make that work. What do you think?
That's fine. That's the next level. So that's fine. Say, unless you're willing to make an engagement within what? Let's set it up now. Let's us talk about it.
Within what? I think engagement in the next 6 months, because that would put us at a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Would you be comfortable with that? Okay. Then
yeah,
you can state that. Okay. You can state that. And so are mm-hmm. you in a sexual relationship with him now?
No, we're not intimate.
Not in that way. Well, not intercourse, but you're...
Not the whole way.
Yeah, okay. So you are at least being sensual with each other.
Right.
Good.
We are playful.
Okay.
That's correct.
You know each other's bodies enough to know that you have chemistry, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, it is time, as they say, to shit or get off the pot. So it's the woman that has to set the standards. We women, whoever's listening out there, we women are the ones who set the standards.
Right.
And and the reason why we do set standards is out of self-love.
Right, correct. That is that's a bit of a challenge for me. I've had a life script with Dr. Pat. I often give too much.
Mm-hmm.
But
give it away? You give away too much of yourself?
Yeah, mm-hmm. too much.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I'm... Also, I'm aware that he's going to bring up all of the things that he wants to change about me as a reason for why this hasn't happened.
Then that's negotiate.
That's
fine. I'm fine with negotiating up front, because there's really four main questions that you each need to know. Mm-hmm. What do I want? What do you want? What do I not want? And what do you not want? That simplifies it.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
And then you both have to agree on enough.
With that.
Yeah, then you both have to agree on enough of the things that you talk about in those four simple questions that aren't so simple, but mm-hmm. they are. To see, then if he wants to get into negotiating the future of the relationship, go for it, girl. Go for negotiating what is doable for you and not doable for you.
Okay.
If he says one thing and makes say, I would want this, and would you agree to that? And then you have to say, yes, I would, or no, that doesn't feel good. That wouldn't feel good to me. So that would be a non-negotiable for me. You have to know what your own personal standards are.
That's right. Yeah, I agree with that. So in that case, when he says, you know, the things, it's always something like last time it was about me planning more dates, for example, maybe reciprocating more. So we mm-hmm. negotiated, and I believe that changed. And so in this case, if he says something like that, and he's going to be saying, like, I want more time to see how you hold up the negotiated end before I make my decision, kind of thing. He's going to
okay.
not want to do
well, then I date. Then I will do that. That's called a promise ring. And at the and if mm-hmm. we still if we don't like each other at the end of that phase, then we don't have to go to engagement.
Okay.
That it's just okay. one level of due diligence. Is he, what type of, is he in business or anything? What does he do?
Yeah, he does tech sales, something like
okay.
that.
Okay, so let me just say he will understand this languaging. That would be, mm-hmm. you say a promise ring is just another level, is a level of commitment and a phase of due diligence.
Okay. Okay, perfect. And at the worst case scenario, if we can't negotiate, I think we'll definitely be calling for a session mm-hmm. and seeing maybe I feel like I've already explained what the promise ring would mean to me. Mm-hmm. And if he wants more clarification, I think we'll just get an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
But
good.
Yeah, I think that
we can do that.
Place to start. Yeah.
Very good. So then he know they know once it's once they real once we explain to them that it's a due diligence period, and so is engagement. By the way, it's still yet a further level of due diligence.
Exactly. Yes.
You can call it off the day before the wedding, if it exactly. doesn't work out. So if that buys people time right there, just knowing that there's different stages of due diligence.
Okay. All right.
Those
thanks.
Are words that a man can understand.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, let's hope that Valentine's Day he'll give it to you. Let's hope that Valentine's Day comes through. Let's send that out.
Exactly.
Yes.
Fingers crossed. Yeah.
You know what? We're getting to the negative. I think let's wait and see if it comes through on Valentine's Day. You might be surprised.
I know.
That's right.
But
yeah.
Give us a call next week if you need another pep talk, if you're not ready. Yeah.
Okay. We'll
give
do.
Us
Thank
an update. So even yeah. if you get your ring, we want to hear about it.
Yeah. Or if you get skipped and you need a pep talk. Sometimes people listen and they listen, but they don't actually comprehend what we say because they're so afraid. Yeah. So sometimes you need a couple times.
I usually go back and listen to the advice and then write it down.
Yeah.
Very good. I love hearing that.
Yeah, you can't remember everything on the first round because it's foreign language.
Yeah, it's not natural for me.
Good.
Yeah. Well, it comes all across right. kind of natural.
Thank you. I'll call back with an update.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Thanks.
That's good stuff. And here we are coming to Valentine's Day. There's a lot of people who are...
we have another caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi,
hello?
How are you?
Yeah, hi.
You need to turn the background down, the background radio down. Oh, they fell off.
I don't have anything on.
Okay,
no, she doesn't have anything on. It was just us. It was just static. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Okay, perfect. Hi, so I had called you both a couple, probably back in November. I told you about a guy I had connected with on Bumble October 2023. And we were both traveling at the time when we connected very deeply over the phone, pictures, videos, all the things. And then when he got close to the end of his trip, he revealed to me that he was, because he realized that we were going to be a little bit of a long distance thing temporarily because I was on the East Coast while he lived in California, and that's where I normally live. And he revealed to me when it came time towards the end of his trip, when he started realizing like he wanted to make plans to see me, he revealed to me that he was in this lawsuit with his former employer that, because he's a doctor, and they had some sort of contract dispute, and the lawsuit was like crippling him financially. But he didn't really paint the full picture for me. He just sort of made it seem more like it was about long distance and not really about finances. So we ended up stopping talking, and it was very abrupt after like it being very intense. And that was that. And we didn't talk for a year. And then this past year, October 2024, so a few months ago, he reached out to me again and wanted to reconnect. And I was very hesitant and cautious, and I wanted to hear some sort of amends for what had happened before because of the way he had handled things before I continued to talk to him. And so eventually he became more transparent with me and revealed to me that his lawsuit was supposed to be ending in the end of February, so like the end of this month. And this is October 2024, a few months ago. And he wanted to reconnect and reestablish like a friendship and see if we could like see each other now and pursue dating. And so eventually, after like many conversations, because it took forever for him to like really lay out the financial situation, and he still didn't like fully do it because I wasn't going to pry and be like, how much money is in your bank account? But he made it just seem like this lawsuit really has been basically like eating up all my funds. And so he had wanted to continue to talk to me. When I called you ladies, you told me, don't talk to him anymore. Just either do a video date like one more time or make a plan to see each other, but none of this like back and forth, because it was making me very emotional and I get very bonded very quickly, especially with him, because there's such a strong connection and seems like we have a lot of, you know, compatibility.
Have you dated in person?
No, so we hadn't seen each other yet still, because
ever you've never seen this person. You're telling me you never saw him in person?
Not in person, no. Just like video.
Okay, so you don't know if you have chemistry until you meet someone in person, because chemistry is a biological event. You actually exchange DNA through the olfactory and it goes to the brain, and you have a sense of chemistry. You can build a fantasy of a person, and you can like who they are online or by meeting them online,
right,
and texting, right, and videoing, but you don't know if you have physical chemistry yet.
I agree, but I think a lot of times you have a sense that is typically accurate on both sides.
No. This is science, dear. I'm telling you science. You may not have physical chemistry when you meet this person. I really don't recommend people develop these long distance texting and long distance virtual relationships, because have you been dating other people in the meantime?
I have. And so this
good.
Is where we are now, because I agree with you. I'm not in disagreement, but I'm just being honest with where I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I did what you advised, and I told him, look, in 3 months when your lawsuit ends, I'd be happy to hear from you. You can reach out to me and we can see where things are then.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay. And he was grateful for that. But we clearly both missed talking to each other. And so we sort of like either he would reach out to me or something and I would respond. And so we kind of ended up still talking, and we sort of agreed that we would stay in touch but not talk as often. And so he was predominantly 99% of the time initiating the contact. And then that went on until the middle of December. And then he and I pulled back, and I was, you know, I was talking to other guys and still on the dating app and all of that. But he, you know, I just really bonded to this guy, and
this gets very dangerous for women to start thinking they're bonding with someone they've never seen in person and been near.
I know,
it's extremely,
how I feel.
It's a fantasy. And I've dealt with so many women. I've just saved yet another one who's had a fantasy relationship with someone for 5 months. And then finally, we found out this guy is being sued by two or three women for scamming.
You have to really meet, hopefully ASAP, because they can have the perfect bio.
Right. So this is where we are now, and this is where I need your help. So in the middle of December, because I had pulled back, and, you know, because I logically know what you're saying. I agree. Like, we needed to see each other. And I understand that we're both, him and I both, are in a fantasy mode. I get that. But conversationally, like, we bond and connect and have, you know, a closeness in that respect and a friendship respect. So December, he, you know, called me when he was away for work again, and, you know, had a great conversation. And I told him that, you know, basically when I don't hear from him, it kind of goes back to zero for me. And it's hard because he remarked on that he felt like I was being different with him. Like, I wasn't being as, like, expressive and, like, my normal kind of playful self. And I was not being that way because I was detaching because of everything you're saying. I wanted to see him in person and see, is he really who I think he is? And so we had a great conversation. Then he got back from that trip and I didn't hear from him for like 4 or 5 days. And then he reaches out to me with a text and basically says, like, I'm not very good at this. When I got back, you know, I was overwhelmed with work and had this thing and that thing. And I had every intention to reach out to you, but I'm just not very good at this. And I just can't make the effort right now with where I'm at in my life to make this make sense. I'm really sorry. And it just seemed like such a stark contrast. So I asked for a phone call because I was confused because I thought we were going to see each other in February in LA. And so when we got on the phone, he basically said he realized, like, he was reaching out to me a lot when, like, he's a medical director at a very big company. So he has a huge responsibility with work and everything. And he's very work obsessed. And he was married before. He's 36 and he was married before. And she left him, cheated on him. And she ended up marrying the guy she cheated on with. And a big part of it was because, you know, he was so tied up in medical residency and all the things. And they just drifted. So he was very, you know, that was like a very, he was betrayed in that relationship.
He sounds like a lot of these men who get these string women along, get women to start feeling sorry for them. And so you're worried about his feelings over your own. And that is a very dangerous position to get yourself in.
I hear you. And I've tried to not do that. Like, it's not like he sits around and, like, pity parties himself about this. It's just like a matter of, it's the facts, you know.
So it's the facts, and you feel sorry for him. I don't like a woman being in that position.
I hear you. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. So, so when we get on the phone, he basically, you know, is rambling about, like, you know, he's starting to, like, notice that he's only reaching out to me when he's, like, bored or when he's traveling, and even though he is, like, feels like he's crazy about me, it's just like, you know, he's just saying, like, he's creating his own issues. And then I was like, I kind of paused the conversation. I said, well, I thought we were going to see each other in February, so I'm a bit confused. And then he brings up, yeah, well, I just talked to my attorney and it seems like the university wants to go to whatever it's called, you know, when you mediate. And
mediation.
So he's like, that's going to push it out to April, and at worst.
No, darling, would you please decide, hopefully today, to love? This is the theme. It's Valentine's Day, and I want all the women listening out there to love themselves first. Love yourself.
So we stopped talking. He said to me, I can't make you wait, and I'm not going to ask you to wait. And he was really disappointed. And he just said all these things, like, I've realized I've not, like, been fair to you. And, you know, I thought I could just be friends with you, and I can't, like, you know, and all the things. And I was just really confused. And I was also just confused, like, if it ultimately comes down to the money thing, because you can't see me because you're financially crippled and you still will be because you're in this lawsuit, why didn't you put that in the text? Like, that should have been the first thing that you said. Anyway, so we stopped talking. Today is 8 weeks that, you know, we have stopped talking. Mm-hmm. But I am, so this is where I'm asking for your help or guidance. Mm-hmm. I've been dating and doing all the things, but like, I cannot get this person out of my head. Like, I feel like obsessed with the idea of this
you
person.
Became and, obsessed. Like, that's what I'm hearing, is this obsession on a fantasy, these fantasy relationships, these virtual fantasy relationships always get obsessive. Because you're addicted. It's an addiction. It's an addiction to the fantasy. So you have to go cold turkey, really, darling. You got to go cold turkey.
I mean, we haven't talked for 8 weeks.
Then send him the high buy letter. Send him the high buy letter. Okay. Do you know how to do that?
Yeah. So I've sort of like drafted one like a while ago, and
good.
I just didn't have the energy to like go back to it. And I will. So that's why I'm calling you, because like a lot of the letter, I feel angry, because I feel like if you really want to
feel duped, darling, it's called duped.
Yeah, I feel tricked.
You've been duped.
I feel tricked because I feel like you came mm-hmm. back again, mm-hmm. and then you built this whole thing up with me, and mm-hmm. you like I was resistant to it, and you persuaded me, and I opened myself back up to risk. Okay, I will explore it with you. And we made a plan to see each other, you know.
He's not available. You are in love. You are addicted to the unavailable. I want you to see that.
So
please, there are lovely men out there. Where are you living now?
I'm on the East Coast.
You're on the East Coast. There are plenty. You're going to live in L.A. or live in the East Coast?
Well, I normally live in L.A., so...
Well, there are men there's a sea of men to date that are available. So you need to get in touch with, and I'm willing to call the office and get a private appointment, and let's do a life mm-hmm. script of why you get to the bottom of why you are torturing yourself by being obsessed with the unavailable. So that's what
like
I really want to get to.
Flush it out and like actually meet this person to be like.
No, you may never meet him. You write the high bye letter. You may never meet this person. He's unavailable.
Is it okay?
You're chasing a fantasy.
Has anger in it?
Has what?
Is it okay if the letter has some anger in it? Like, because I feel angry.
Not anger. You can say your feelings in the first part of the letter. Do you know how the letter goes? The first part is everything you've enjoyed about your conversations and like all the things you liked about talking with him or discussions. Then the second part of it is everything that has caused you pain. That's the second mm-hmm. paragraph. The third paragraph is everything that you never want to experience again in any kind of a relationship with him or anybody else. And the mm-hmm. last part is everything that you do want in a real relationship, not a virtual relationship, a real relationship. And then you say, I thank you for reading this and I wish you well.
And do I wait a certain amount of time for him to respond?
You go out and date. You don't wait. There's no waiting. There's no waiting.
Yeah.
But after, when was the last time you spoke with him and heard his voice?
Literally today is 8 weeks ago, December 19th.
Okay. You have kept yourself on hold now for over a year that I know of.
No. I moved on the first time. I put him, he was gone from my
okay.
life.
You may never meet this person. You may never meet him. So write the letter and get on with the day with dating. And if he does say, I really want you to see you, then you'll know. If he doesn't, you'll know. Either way, you'll know. But it's either he's going to see you now, or he's not going to contact you, or he'll say, oh no, I just want to keep our relationship. I still want to be talking to you and sometime in the far future. And if he answers anything other than I want to see you within the next 2 weeks, the answer is no.
Okay. I was just concerned about with writing the letter with the framework you shared, that my pain or my disappointment or what me sharing my truth of how I feel might be so like come across as like harsh or critical.
Oh, to share your pain.
I hate to rush in here. We're running out of time, folks. We need to wind it down.
Call for an appointment. Call for an appointment if you need it.
Okay.
Very good. Okay. On this note.
Okay. You can call back next week if you want to follow up and finish, but okay, we have to go. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for joining us. We had a couple of great calls and a couple of great conversations about communication. So I want to say goodbye and we'll join us here next week. Do you want to say goodbye, Patricia?
I'll say goodbye and to remind everybody to love yourself first more than you love anybody else.
Thank you.
That was the theme today. Love yourself.
Thank you. That was. Okay. We'll see you next week. Keep dry out there. Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.